Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, The Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs Mansfield area, and we'll provide some insight on UConn's fall athletic teams. Now we're going to get right into it. Happy November, everybody. I hope it's not super windy in your area this morning. I know the past few days have been super windy here in Storrs, and I feel like I've been pushed around a lot all week from the wind. I don't know if this is an experience everyone else has been having. But anyway, this past Tuesday was Election Day, and we have some election results to dive into. So we have the results from the Mansfield local election here for you now. So the town council was looking to fill 9 out of the 12 seats this election year, and 6 Democratic candidates were voted in. The 3 remaining seats were filled by Republican candidates. So the elects to the Mansfield Town Council were Sarah Dunfrance, Lizzie Mullen, Carlita Cotton, Ben Shaken, Sam Bruder, and Antonia Moran from the Democratic Party. And from the Republican Party, Bill Tomeko, Chris Kefner, and Gail Zychek. Now, all other elections that were held had uncontested candidates, and this included the Board of Education, the Board of Assessment Appeals, the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Zoning Board of Appeals, and the Region 19 Board of Education. So now we're going to get into some information regarding the University of Connecticut's Senate meeting that happened on Monday. They discussed the implementation of a U.S. anti-black racism course that's been talked pretty widely about over the past few weeks here at UConn. And I'm going to introduce Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski into this conversation. So Rhea, I know that you know a little bit about this topic, and it's been discussed a lot again throughout just the community. So a formal decision was not fully made in regards to this course on the town meeting from October 6th, which happened just last month, and a motion to rescind the course requirement was amended, as reported by the Daily Campus's Kevin Guinan. Rhea, what are your what else do you know about this story?
Well, I do know that this course was originally thought of back in 2020 is when discussions were first happening about the course.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently, when they were talking about it, they just had concerns over how it might jeopardize other cultural diversity things. So, yeah.
Yeah. I will say that the USG president, Andy Zhang, who comes on to Husky Nation on a biweekly basis with us, did have a quote in this story, and he said, quote, "Students nowadays are having more and more of a difficult time having conversations and dialogue about controversial topics." And I think that it's something that we all agreed on was the fact that mandating some sort of ABR course would only add to that kind of attention to add to that fire, end quote. So it seems like there's that concern going around not only through the student body, but also with student representatives. And they're worried about the university facing this concern of students' perceptions on the course, but also when it comes to budget issues. Because I know that the university has been facing a lot of budgeting issues with courses, making sure that professors are being paid leave, which is another thing we've talked about on our show. So there's a lot coming up when talking about this course.
I believe in the article they were saying that they weren't thinking of not having the course. It was more so that they were thinking of not making it a required course.
Mm-hmm. And just leaving it as an option.
Yes.
So, moving on, there was a motion to approve this. The motion to pause the approval of this course passed in a vote of 59-10 on Monday with 2 abstaining from the vote. Under the motion, the committee will issue a report with specific recommendations to the Senate Executive Committee by February 12th of 2026, according to the meeting agenda. All right, now we're going to throw it over to Rhea Kowalski, who's going to tell us a bit about what's going on in the local area. Rhea, take it away.
The Access Community Action Agency will be holding a pop-up food distribution in the Willimantic and Danielson areas. The food distribution will take place as in the parking lot of the Access Willimantic offices, and the events will take place between the 3rd and 6th of according to the announcement. The Willimantic office will host distribution between 1 and 2 p.m. on November 3rd, 10 and 11 a.m. on November 5th, and the Danielson office will hold distributions from 1 to 2 p.m. on November 4th, as well as 10 and 11 a.m. on November 6th. Both of the Access food pantries are experiencing construction, which will limit access until mid-November. However, as the result of the government shutdown continues, the agency says that they will plan accordingly for future pop-up events as SNAP delays persist. Next, there is a recent change in the organization within academic affairs at UConn. The Center of Career Readiness and Life Skills, Dean of Student Offices, Student Activities, Cultural Centers and Programs, and the Center for Students with Disabilities will now report to the Division of Student Life and Enrollment. The reason being is such that student wellness and unification or support systems will all be operating under one umbrella. In addition to that, the Office of Registrar and Academic Integrity, as well as misconduct functions, will all report to the Office of the Provost. This message is from Amir Alpay, who is the Interim Provost and Executive President for Academic Affairs, who also assures that this will be the best way to ensure organization moving forward. UConn Today also mentions that these changes after the Office of the Vice President for Research into the Provost's office will move and be restored as an important alignment between academic and research functions. This change will be effective as of December 1st, 2025. Katie, back to you.
Thank you so much, Rhea. Now, in terms of our statewide news, we have some very exciting news to share. The Manchester Jazz Festival will be celebrating its 10th anniversary on Saturday, December 6th at 6:30 p.m. and on December 7th at 1 p.m. at Cheney Hall, located on 177 Hartford Road. And this is going to be taking place in the oldest operating theater in the state, which dates back all the way to 1867. Now, this two-day event will be featuring 8 different groups with over 50 singers and instrumentalists, and it's really exciting because last year, the UConn Student Jazz Combo performed, and this year, in the Saturday lineup, a UConn professor will be performing. Jonathan Barber is the drum kit professor for the School of Music here at UConn, and his band, Jonathan Barber and Vision Ahead, will be performing on Saturday. The other Saturday performers include High Hall School Jazz Combo and the Venetia Gold Quartet. Sunday's lineup includes the Good Vibes Fellowship, Grassroots Bluegrass, and the Hall Monitors, and many more. If you're interested in purchasing tickets, you can at www.manchesterctjazzfest.com. Now we're going to be throwing it over to you, sports director Vinny Carbone. Vinny, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, Katie. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
So yeah, Carbone's Court this week. We're going to finish out with soccer this week, and then next week we'll kind of get basketball started, recapping everything. Basketball season is on the full swing right now, and soccer is just about to wrap up. Women's soccer is done. Men's soccer has a couple games left, and football is still approaching the end of their season. Welcome back to Carbone's Court. I'm your host, Vinny Carbone, and let's get right into it. The women's soccer team here at UConn played in the first round of the Big East tournament last night, and it was not a great showing for the Huskies at all. Very opposite of how their run went last year. They lost 7-0 versus Xavier, one of their biggest losses in the last few years. And although it was quite the opposite of what the outcome was last year, you know, winning, being the underdog and winning the Big East tournament and going to the NCAA tournament, they still had a great season this year, 11-4-3, with a lot of new faces on the roster. So next year, we only hope for them to prove that record. Now on to men's soccer. The men's team has one more game before they head into the Big East tournament. They added one more win to their record this past week, beating Butler at home last Saturday. Sabri Hani buried his second goal of the season from the PK area, and Balthazar Saunders scored his fourth of the season off an assist from Austin Brummett. Both of these goals came in the last 20 minutes of the game, and UConn is now 4-2-1 in conference play. They face Seton Hall tonight in New Jersey to wrap up their regular season. And now over to football. And they've had a very unique season. Despite a season that included three games, which honestly could have gone either way, one play could have changed the outcome of those three games. They could be a solid 9-0 right now. But despite that, they are still sitting at 6-3 after beating UAB this past weekend. And UConn is ready to take on the Duke Blue Devils at home tomorrow afternoon. But in this game last weekend, there were so many milestones were reached. It was incredible. First, let's start with single game records. Cam Chadwick had three interceptions in this game, tying UConn's record for most picks in a single game. And onto the offensive side, Joe Fagnano has eclipsed 10,000 total passing yards in his college football tenure between Maine and UConn. And also on the offensive side, wide receiver Skylar Bell had three touchdowns in this game. And with those three touchdowns, he has tied the school record for most receiving touchdowns in a single season, which is 11. So with a few games left, he's almost guaranteed to break that record here at UConn. And then on a team-wide level, UConn has reached the bowl-eligible mark, which is 6 wins, for the second straight year and third time in 4 seasons under Coach Mora. Huge things to come for this team in a crucial game tomorrow versus the Blue Devils. Now on to the trivia section of Carbone's Court. Last week, we asked what artist recorded the song Ghostbusters, and the answer to that was Ray Parker Jr. A lot of people knew that. A couple people here in the studio last week knew that. I believe Billy said he knew it right away. But moving on, I don't know. There's no comment there. But now, this week's question. Football, because football's been doing so great. They've broke so many records. So I just talked about how Joe Fagnano has 10,000 total passing yards in his career. But how many passing yards does he have this season by the time of this show? Once again, how many passing yards does Joe Fagnano have this season? We'll get the answer to you next week, and I'll send it back to Katie.
Thank you so much, Vinny. Guys, I had a quick question for everyone, because this has been a fun little debate that I've been having amongst my personal friend group, and I've been wanting to know everyone else's thoughts. One, is it acceptable to listen to Christmas music now that Halloween has happened and, you know, we're moving on into the continuation of the holiday season? When is it acceptable to listen to Christmas music or holiday music?
Now? Yeah, it's fine.
You think so?
I was listening to Christmas music yesterday.
Really?
Yep.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Probably, I don't know, Rudolph.
That one's your favorite?
The Red-Nosed Deer.
Reindeer?
The Red-Nosed Reindeer.
If
Rudolph,
it's your favorite.
The Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shining... Okay. What's your favorite song, Rhea?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Rhea, what's yours?
I don't know. I feel like Rudolph is pretty... The only memory I have of, like, listening to Christmas music is, like, decorating the house, and then, like, we'd throw on some Christmas music. But, like, I don't think I've listened to... I'm not, like, a Christmas music listener, so I don't really have, like, a favorite, but, like, I could get down to some, like, Jingle Bells or something.
When do you think it's acceptable to listen to, like, holiday music?
I feel like December. I feel like it's far... Okay, but, like, I don't know. I feel like I have to take it one holiday at a time. Like, right now, my mind is on Thanksgiving.
That's fair.
So, I feel like December 1st, November... Like, Thanksgiving is actually, like, the perfect day to start listening.
I would agree. I think Thanksgiving is, like, a reasonable area. I would say, like, Black Friday. That's my typical...
I would agree.
Christmas start. However, I did listen to Christmas music this morning.
All right.
I was just feeling it, okay?
A little early.
I woke up, my alarm happened to have been Christmas jazz, and I kind of just rolled with it.
Okay.
So I was chilling with it.
Actually, yes, I like listening to jazz, like, around Christmas time. Like, you know that meme where it's, like, from the B-movie where he's like, you like jazz? Like, mm-hmm. That's, like, me, like, during... like the holiday season. I really like a good, like, not trumpet, but like saxophone.
Oh, a good like a brass section?
Yeah. Mm. That's like how I get down during Christmas. I feel
I
like
respect it.
Walking through the city, you hear some like nice jazz, some cool jazz. Like, that's how I'm getting down. So.
I love it.
Out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. Thank you to our news partners, The Daily Campus, UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV, UConn's Student Television Station. A special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rhea Kowalski.
And I'm Vinny Carbone.
And you have all been listening to Husky Nation News on WHRS Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.